The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please have a seat. Many, 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 many moons ago, when I was in my church's high school youth group back in St. Louis, one of the elders took all of us kids on a hiking and camping trip in the wild and hilly woods of Missouri. It was a two-day, 25-mile hike, pretty rugged with really no modern conveniences at all. We hiked about 15 miles the first day, and then we made a fire in a little cave on a hillside, and we dug sassafras roots to make tea, and we found wild watercress to eat with our dinner, and we all huddled up to the campfire to sleep because it was really cold that night. But then on the second day, my friend Becky and I got separated from the rest of the group, and we got hopelessly lost. We were slower than the boys in our group, and we just gradually fell behind the others until suddenly we realized that we couldn't see or hear anybody at all. It was late fall, and it was gray and chilly, and all the woods around us and all the forest floor were just pretty uniform, rusty brown, which made it really hard to distinguish the trail from where we were supposed to be on from all the rest of the woods. It was very scary to have no idea where we were, no idea how to find our friends, and to see just nothing but trees stretching on every side. By the grace of God, and I think a little bit of his wonderful sense of humor as well, he didn't leave us panicking for too long, because within, I'd say probably about an hour, we heard voices and we heard footsteps, and this whole troop of little Boy Scouts came jogging down the path, and they were just delighted to show us how to get back on our trail, where we found the rest of our youth group, and then we were okay. They probably got merit badges for rescuing these two girls in the woods. I hope that they did. But I will never forget that feeling of utter lostness and just helplessness. Since that day, I haven't found myself lost in the woods very many times like that, but I have found myself hopelessly lost many, many times. As human beings, we lose our way all the time. We lose our way in so many different ways. There's a hymn that says, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." Sometimes we get lost in our sadness and our regret when we're unable to let go of the past or unable to forgive ourselves, because we forget that we have to forgive ourselves 70 times 7 times too. We get lost in our unforgiveness and our self-hatred and lose our way forward. Or sometimes we get lost in our anger when we reduce one of our fellow human beings to just the sum of what they've done to hurt or offend us or disappoint us, and we lose that path of love that lets us see them as our brother or sister. Or sometimes we get lost in discouragement when we stop seeing ourselves as beloved and valuable children of God and start believing those lies that we tell ourselves, that we're useless, that we're stupid, that we're old, that we're not talented, and we just find ourselves bogged down in self-pity and despair. And sometimes we get lost in discontent when we envy people who have nicer things or easier lives or more money than we do. And there's always somebody who has an easier time than we do. Just like there's always somebody that has a harder time than we do. And we get so lost in our envy and our jealousy that we stop seeing the blessings around us at all, and we stop being able to be thankful for all that unique good that God put into our own lives. And sometimes we get lost in fear when we lose our grip on our faith and we let our troubles loom bigger than our God. There are as many different ways as there are days in our lives, I would think. The whole human condition that we call sin is a matter of losing our way, of straying from that path that points us toward God. We all get lost time and time again throughout the short span of our human lives, and in the end, our lives end by sin having its way with us as death catches up with us. That's what it means to be mortal. No matter how well we care for ourselves, no matter how good we are about exercise and a good diet and good habits of all kinds, we all stray from the paths of wisdom and kindness and faith, and we all feel our bodies grow feeble and achy and unreliable, and finally, we all give in. And really, the only alternative to that bleak outcome is when it all happens faster because death strikes us suddenly and our sinful lives are cut shorter. On this first day of the Lenten season, this day that we call Ash Wednesday, we mark our foreheads with ash to remind ourselves of our mortality. It's a healthy dose of reality in a world that would like to fool us into believing that we can outwit death and decay with the right combination of multivitamins and anti-wrinkle cream and positive feelings and energies. That smudge on our foreheads will testify to the truth that there is nothing we can do. There is nothing we can do in and of ourselves to get the better of sin and death. But it's not the whole meaning of the ashes. When I dip my thumb in that ash that I made from burning our poems last year, and when I mark your forehead this evening, I smear those ashes in the shape of a cross. Because the cross points us to the only answer to this human predicament that we're in. It is only the Spirit of Jesus Christ who took on himself this thing, this burden that we call mortality, and who put it to death on Calvary. It is he and only he who's able to find us in our lostness, no matter how far or how hopelessly or how willfully or how often we stray, and to lead us gently and safely and surely back on the way of life every time. and most joyfully and most truly it is at the cross of Jesus Christ that we find that death doesn't have the final word. We who are marked with the sign of death and mortality will get lost many times over, and we will die. But just as death has lost its power to keep Jesus in the tomb, it has also lost its power forever to keep us in the tomb. The cross is our sign and our pledge that all death, including our own death, will be swallowed up in life, and that everyone who is lost will be found. We know that Lent is a time for repentance. We know that word, but I don't think we always know what we mean by repentance. And I think a lot of people seem to think that true repentance means recognizing how far we have strayed away from God and just trying to make ourselves feel really terrible about it, like conjuring up that sense of helplessness that my friend and I felt when we realized we were lost and alone in the woods, feeling like that and just wallowing in it good. But that's not repentance. Repentance is much more sensible than that. First of all, have you ever noticed that every time God calls us to act, it's because he did something first? When we find ourselves lost in the woods of our sin for the first or the 20th or the 1,000th time, God shows up. He's already showed up. And true repentance is what we do, not what we feel, but what we do in response to his showing up. Repentance is turning to the one who always comes to our rescue when we're lost. Repentance specifically is changing our direction because we're going the wrong way and following him back to the right path. Repentance is not some kind of guilty feeling that we have to work ourselves up to. It's our happy response to one who has found us in our desperate need. In our repentance, we cry out in joy, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." So today, Ash Wednesday, and the gateway into Lent, we don't enter the wilderness to lose ourselves in self-loathing and shame. We enter the wilderness of Lent because our Lord, the one who loves us, is there. He's there to guide us. He's there to help us find our way again. And I pray that this Lent we might all find him and be found by him throughout this Lenten season. Amen.